The book of Acts. Last time we got together, here's some statements I want to bring back to your remembrance. When the kingdom of light throws a party, the kingdom of darkness shows up. Okay? That's just a little reminder, a little commercial. I remember when I first got saved, you know, you have this victory and you get real excited about it. And then right around the corner, there's, you know, Holyfield and Mike Tyson, the two, you know, you get duked out and then you're like, gee, thanks God, where were you? And the problem with that is the teachers and the preachers at the time when I was, you know, getting discipled and what have you, they didn't really teach you about the battle. They just said, hey, man, you're going to get the victory. Well, yeah, I got the victory, but then I got smashed. So we have to keep that in memory. And we watched that already as I taught it on Acts chapter 16. Here's the next part. The devil will try to rain on every victory prayed in your life. Be smarter than him and bring an umbrella. And if you forgot your umbrella, learn how to dance in the rain. Don't worry about your hair getting wet or your fancy outfit. Just bless the Lord, all my soul, all that is within me. Don't forget of his benefits and just bless the Lord. Okay, if you tolerate the devil and never confront him, you allow him the right, you allow him to write to not only aggravate you, but to eventually assault you. Remember that? Okay, so if you tolerate the devil and never confront him, you allow him the right to not only aggravate, but to eventually assault you. Okay, you see that with relationships. You see that with people who deal with people who are abusive, whether they're verbal. Usually it goes from verbal to physical. Sometimes it's verbal and physical at the same time. But, you know, it accelerates and it extends. It keeps going. It keeps intensifying. So what's the key? The key is don't tolerate the devil. Okay? And then finally, whatever you tolerate in life, it has the right to stay. Whatever you tolerate in life has the right to stay. So we saw that in Acts chapter 16. Remember the possessed slave girl? She continued to speak these things. And it's funny because I don't know if I gave you the definition or I gave you the word about possessed. It's echo, E-C-H-O. I think I did. If I didn't, it's E-C-H-O. It's in New Testament 21:92. It means to have, to hold, to have at hand, and to wear. I think I told you that, but I find it funny, echo. She was possessed, and she was echoing what the men of God were saying, and she was actually being very belligerent and aggravating. And so, again, the enemy will intensify things. Divination, I told you about that, the spirit of Python, which... later on, you see there's a connection between that and ventriloquist. That's very interesting. You know, see, hear the words, but you don't see the mouth moving, those type of things. Sounds like a lot of preachers. Went on to verse 20, Roman-controlled commanders. Remember, they had Paul and they had Silas, and they went ahead and dealt with them very harshly. And we talked about the kind of a mystery, in a sense, of why Paul tolerated those things. I'm going to kind of answer that tonight in a way. Roman law. They broke Roman law to deal with these guys. Okay, Acts chapter 16. And then we see that they were beaten and they were put in stocks. And remember, this wasn't Club Med or Club Fed. This was the Roman Empire. They were the best at crucifixions. They were the best at torturing. And they did not go to the front of the jail. They went to the back of the jail. In fact, the way it makes it sound is they probably were escorted past murderers. That's how mad they were with these guys and considering them terrorists when they were bringing upheaval against the city. Remember, Rome had no competition. The Caesar had no competition. And they were preaching about Jesus, him being what? King of kings and Lord of lords. So this was a huge threat. So they were escorted all the way to the back. So pretty amazing. All right. The book of Acts for tonight, here's some truths to write down. True faith is revealed no matter the season or circumstance. True faith is revealed, or you can say is an operation. It's revealed, it's made alive. No matter the season or circumstances, this is the last part, it is a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle, okay? So repeat it again. True faith is revealed or operates no matter the season and circumstances. It is a lifestyle. All right. All of us have a measure of faith. All of us have the gift of faith, the aspect of faith that brings us salvation. And then we have the mustard seed, and we grow and grow and grow. And I'm not going to teach on faith tonight, but the point is, it is a lifestyle. We don't just turn faith on and turn it off. You wake up with faith. You live your day in faith. You go to bed in faith. So it's a lifestyle. All right? Pressure is the detonator of our faith. Pressure is the detonator of our faith in many ways. All right? Once it is activated, anything can happen. Pressure is the detonator of our faith. Once it is activated, anything can happen. Okay? You want to see great faith? Get in great trouble. You want to see great faith in operation? Have great problems. You want to see great faith? Have great pressure. Because faith is always in operation. Again, I'm not teaching on faith, but I have to go there for a second. Faith is always in operation. It's a dynamo. It's ready to explode and expand and reveal itself. But it's waiting for that pressure, that tripwire, if you will, to be tripped, that activation. And when it's activated, faith comes alive and anything's possible. Why? Because all things are possible for those who believe, because all things are possible with God. Nothing's impossible, right? So many times Christians are looking for a pressureless life. You're in the wrong army. You might as well go find Pee Wee Herman and start your own, because in true Christianity, pressure's all around us. In fact, in the last days, we'll be in tribulation. Tribulation means what? Pressure. All right, so that's I want you to see that. Now, finally, faith in God will give you favor. Faith in God will give you favor with man and your enemies. Faith in God will give you favor with man and your enemies. Okay, favor comes from God. Automatically, you have favor with him. But it'll also give you favor with man and your enemies. And no one will be able to deny it. And no one will be able to deny it. So when true faith is an activation, you have favor with man and you have favor with your enemies. And people around you will not be able to deny it. They'll be like, how in the world did you get out of that situation? You got a minute? How about an hour? Let me tell you exactly how God did it. Okay? And so that's a powerful truth. And so let's talk about that. Let's get into all that tonight in this teaching. I hope you've been enjoying this. Acts chapter 16, let's go to verse 25. And watch this. Now, we know Paul and them, they just went into the worst part of the prison. They're all the way in the back. It is pitch dark. There's no night light. For those of you that are scared of the dark, you're still using night lights. There's no night lights, okay? They're in the back there in the worst part of the dungeon, okay? So we know they got in trouble. Watch this. At midnight, remember, at midnight, the darkest part of the night, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So the first thing we need to see was at midnight, at the darkest hour. The darkest hour. I wonder if this was a modern translation of a modern group of Christians, would we hear written and seen written, there was a bunch of cussing and fussing and complaining and holler, and I want to call my lawyer, I want to call my mama, I want to call her, I'm going to call your mama too. I mean, if this was today's Christianity, not all, but some, you would hear fussing and cussing. But notice this, it was at midnight, the darkest hour, there was no cussing, no fussing, no matter what. That's amazing to me because, again, we sit here from this perspective of comfort and the 2019 lifestyle, and we say, oh, yeah, I would have done the same thing. I don't know you, and you don't know me until we're in a foxhole. All right? The true character of any man or woman comes out in the time of adversity. Once you're squeezed, I'm going to find out what's in you. Amen? If you don't believe that, you've never been married before. Or you've never been in close quarters with somebody. You haven't been on a city bus lately or a city train or what have you, okay? So there is a truth to that. All right, and I want you to think about this. Use your imagination. That's the way I like to teach because that's how I read. I read through the imagination through the Holy Spirit teaching me this. Watch this. They're in the innermost part of the prison. There's no nightlight, like I said. There's no room service. There's no 1-800 call this lawyer. There's none of these things that are available to him and to them like they are to us today. So you have to think medieval, if you will. You have to think the darkest of situations. They were thrown all the way in the back there. They had themselves beaten and they're bleeding, possibly going into shock, possibly some type of trauma, if not physical, definitely mental. You just got whipped halfway, half clothed. Some scholars say naked. It doesn't matter. But a public display. You did nothing wrong. You're preaching the name of Jesus because he told you to go. You had all the blessings to go. Somebody paid your way. Come on, you ever done that? You ever done all the right things for God and it turns out pretty sour? And then you look out and say, I thought you were with me. Well, he was with you. He just allowed you to take a sour left turn or whatever. So here they are. They're in this darkest moment, but yet they're willing to sing praises. How come we don't learn this when we're in the comfort of life? We have money in the bank. We have food in our bellies and all these different things. And one little thing doesn't go right for us and we become shipwrecked for God. It's not true faith. You're not operating in true faith. You're operating in some hope-so type of Christian mentality that's more mental than it is internal. Internal faith says, I believe God no matter what happens to me. I believe God no matter what my situation and circumstances. I don't have to like it, but I love him. You see, and we're learning this, and we have to get this in our hearts as the days get evil and they get darker and persecution begins to happen in the church in a wholesale fashion. Are we really going to stand for Christ? Okay? The reason why the church seems so foreign to this type of teaching is they've been taught that they're out of here and they don't have to worry about this. But what if you are wrong and wrongly taught? All right? So we know that you are wrongly taught if you believe that. We're going to go through some stuff. So at midnight, darkest hour, I didn't get a lot of amens, by the way, but I love you anyways. They were bleeding. They were still in stocks. They were still being tortured, and they sang praises. I have to stop for a minute and say, God, you know, do I have that faith? Do I have that tenacity within me? And one way to find out is right now. Do you cry, complain? Do you moan? Do you murmur? Do you want to quit church and quit God and quit fellowship over small things? If you do, you're not ready for this. You're not ready for the faith and the lifestyle that God has for you. Amen? But you can. You can change it. You can change it. How do you do that? You undergo surgery and you say, God, put a new heart in me and fix me up that I have a heart of faith inside of me. So here they are, man. So they're praising. They're singing praises. And then all of a sudden, watch this second part. It says, and what? The prisoners heard them. Hey, they weren't silent, man. They were loud. They were just letting it out. I mean, what more was going to happen? Bleed to death? I mean, what are you going to do? Kill me? Paul already knew what it was like to be halfway dead. He'd been dead. He understood that. He'd been blinded. He'd been beat up. You know what I mean? What are you going to do with a man or a woman like that that's sold out and is persuaded? You ain't going to do much to him. But they sang praises and the prisoners heard it. You see, that's why you and I, we need to learn how to activate our faith when pressure comes and detonates it. We need to let everybody know around us that our faith is in God. We're going to sing no matter how much it hurts. We're going to praise him no matter how much we're going through. We love God with all of our spirit, soul, mind, and body. You see, faith can not only be seen, it can be heard, and faith can be felt by other people. So here they are in prison, man. They're praising God. The prisoners hear it. Verse 26. Everybody say, suddenly. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now, you know from my teachings that the word great is megas in the Greek, which means mega. It was a mega earthquake. Okay, this wasn't, you know, a 2-point whatever. This was a mega earthquake that took place. All right? It was a mega earthquake. And what happened? And it says, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, that's one thing to be in an earthquake and you see stuff fall off the shelves or the walls begin to buckle or you see roads begin to move. When the very foundation begins to shake, that's heavy duty. That sounds like God used both fingers, you know what I mean? Or he just, you know, whatever he wanted to do to make it happen. But suddenly, when did that suddenly come? It came at midnight. It came in their greatest pain. It came during torture, and it came when they were singing and praising God. So the pressure of what was going on around them activated their faith, and God heard them. That's very important that you remember that. And God heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And everybody say, in a little while. No, no. And immediately. I just want to see what kind of Bible you had. And immediately. See, because some, you know, this is what happens to us. We become pre-programmed. Because God doesn't answer what we want right away, we don't think he's able to hear us. We think that he's mad at us. We come with all these ideals. Well, God will answer you when he's good and ready. Because with faith comes patience. They're connected together. They're an anchor. They anchor each other. So when you have faith, you must be patient and wait on the things of God. Amen? He does. He does. He's waiting on the harvest. And so, here it is. They begin to praise and worship God, but immediately God did this thing. So many times, again, we lose our faith because God doesn't do it immediately. That's okay. That's up to him, whatever he wants to do. A lot of times he does it immediately. We just don't see the results yet. But we're not going to get into prayer and praise and the results of that. What we want to see here is that it shook the whole place. All the doors were open and every man's bonds were loosed. This was not just an earthquake. This was a supernatural shaking of God, because not only did it open the doors and it shook the very foundations of the building, it also unlatched every single prisoner's stocks and their chains. Wow. I mean, I've never heard that in any earthquake recently in California or any other place where all the prisoners, I mean, I've heard of prisoners running out, but not in stocks and bonds. Everything, you know, those chains just breaking free. This was amazing. But what was God doing? God was giving an illustrated sermon. He was teaching these prisoners. He was showing them exactly what he wanted to do and he could do. So immediately all the doors were open and every bands were loose. Man, you talk about a jailbreak. Maybe this is where Elvis got his song. Well, jailhouse rock. Oh, come on, man. Give me a little bit of time and I'll karaoke for you. Do you see that? They were loosened. Watch this, verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep. I could imagine that he woke up. I mean, he got shook. He was all shook up. There's another one. That's pretty good. I can do this all night, folks. I can be here for... all night long, he was all shook up. So watch this. Waiting, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open. Talking about a jailbreak, right? The prison doors were open. This is amazing. He drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Wow. Now, you say, why did he do that? I mean, it's just a couple prisoners. I mean, we don't know how many were in there. Why would he want to kill himself? Well, either kill himself or be killed. He was sworn as a sergeant, as a lictor, as a person who had the rods. You know, they held their rods on this type of axe type of weapon that they had. So every time you saw him walking, you saw the axe and you saw these rods. These guys were heavy duty. It was like walking tall. You know, it was like watching somebody come at you like Terminator. And here he was with this authority. Now he's ready to kill himself, literally take his life, because he knows what is going to happen to him. Because remember, he was given charge over these prisoners, right? So the doors are open. In his mind, he's thinking, everybody is out of here. Number one, he's already freaked out because of what has taken place. He's shell-shocked. He's completely just blown away. But Paul cried, verse 28, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Amen. Wow. Now, this was most Christians. He'd say, do it, do it, do it because of what you did to me. Come on, how many know Christians today that won't forgive folks because of stuff happening in the church? You deserved it. Really? Are you kidding me? They would do that. I believe that there have been some Christians that would not have been like Paul that said, do it, stab yourself. You hurt me. You mean lictor thing, you. You know it's the truth. Because if we would get mad over the smallest little things we do in church and we do out in our lives and our families, but small little things, you imagine if somebody really hurt you? Man, I'm not getting much love tonight. But it's the truth. It's the truth. And that's why we have to be very careful how vindictive we get. We better be careful with our prayers too. Don't use God as your mafia boss, because he's neither. He's not your mafia boss. He's none of those things. He's not your executor. He's not the one. He'll do vengeance on his own time if he deems it and judges it properly. He may deal with you first. In most cases, he does deal with us first. Hey, you got an ought with your brother? Leave your gift at the altar. Go take care of your brother. And when you're done with that mess, come on back and I'll take your gift. Whoo. God's justice is different than ours. We're ready to just slice everybody up, take a 60 cal and just, you know, mow everybody down and say, ha, God's for me. Come on, church. It's the truth. Somebody needed to hear that. I don't know who it was, but I'm not going to look at you. I needed to hear that because so many times we do that. I can't tell you how many times over 25 years of ministry I've heard preachers, you know, use God as this battering ram and saying, well, I'll pray for you. And, you know, and whatever, we use this in a very negative way, in a vindictive way, and that's not how it works. You know, we're to love our enemies. I don't understand that. I don't have that totally. Don't think I've got that figured out. I don't. I just understand that, you know, I need to learn that when small things happen to me, I don't need to make them big. I need to say, okay, God, I don't know why this happened. I don't understand this person. Take care of them. Deal with them the way you do, but keep my heart clean. That's a big lesson here we learn with Paul. He said, man, don't do that. Paul cried with a loud voice saying, don't do yourself any harm, for we're all here. Here's another miracle. All those guys stayed. That tells you what a commanding spirit Paul and Silas had as leaders. We don't know who they were. They could have been, you know, murderers. It could have been just common thieves. We do not know who was in there. But Paul and them and the very miracle of shaking the entire place, those people understood the singing of praises and the prayers and the earthquake and the doors opening. They got it. It was God. But they didn't leave. Isn't that a miracle? I can't say that about the jails you guys go and visit, our jail ministry. The ones you guys minister to, do you think that they would stay if it opened up? Some of them would, not all of them. Question, you know, have to ask yourself, would you hang out? God set me free. I don't know who he is, but I'm free because of that guy over there. So it was a miracle. It was a miracle. God kept this whole thing together. Okay, so we don't know how people would act, but watch this. Verse 29, and then he called for a light. Here comes your nightlight. He called for a light, and he sprang, and it came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. The very man that was in charge of throwing him in the back, the very man that was charged of putting him in the stocks, spreading their legs to where it was very uncomfortable, having the blood stick to the very floor. Who else knows what was in that room on the ground? All the elements, the smells, the senses, more beatings as they were put in those stocks. Here this man came in and fell down before their feet. You ought to write in your notes, God will turn it around. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care anything about your enemies or what they're doing or what they've done to you. God will eventually turn it around. Not everybody's going to bow down at your feet. Don't look for that. Don't even look for an apology. Just know that God will turn it around in his way. Amen? Don't look for the vindication. That's the problem we have. We look for what it should be to us to satisfy us. That's not the right answer. It's whatever satisfies God. Because the first thing we have to understand is whoever has the ought against us is already in trouble with God. Let's help them get free by forgiving them. Easy teaching, easy preaching. But we find out really who we are when it happens. All right, so he fell down before Paul and Silas. Watch this. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Are you here? God turned it around. And in verse 30, he said, he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They went from being in prison to now being in control of the destiny of this man's life. And favor came upon them. Wow. You know what you're seeing here? You're seeing the reason why Paul didn't say he was a Roman. Again, scripturally, it doesn't tell us. There's no scriptural verse to go to anywhere in Paul's writing to say, this is why I did it. But in understanding and with the fairness of being contextual, you can see the reasons why Paul and Silas did not pull out the Roman citizenship card. And there'll be some more reasoning in a few minutes. Okay, and I'll show it to you that maybe you hadn't seen historically. But this is very important. So now we begin to see why Paul and Silas said, we'll take the beatings. Some scholars in that, I told you I was going to help answer some of that, but some scholars believe that it was possible that they were so excited, these magistrates and these rulers of this demon-possessed girl, that they may have mentioned their citizenship, but they didn't care. They were in such fever to deal with these young men or these two men in front of the whole crowd. But either way, it doesn't matter. Paul and them were at this position here to give God glory. Okay? So they brought him out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, here's our scripture here at Ignited Church for our prayers. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Woo. Now the house has to believe too. It doesn't mean you get saved and they get saved too. It just means salvation comes to your house and they got to get saved too. But your odds are in great favor that they will, because the light that's in you and the spirit of Christ that's in you will overflow into their lives. Amen. And so that's what we declare when we pray for everybody on the cross. So if you're watching this with me and you're using your imagination, you're putting yourself in that position. Here they are. They're now brought out of the jail. This guy's getting saved. They're still preaching. I mean, Paul and Silas could have been pretty bitter. Why should I tell you how to get saved, man? You beat the snot out of me and did all these things to me. Who were? Didn't you? Couldn't you tell I was a preacher? You know what? I've heard stuff like that before. How dare you? I'm a man or a woman of God. Well, get over yourself. And watch this, verse 32. And they spake unto him, what? The word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. So they're preaching to everybody. They're still bleeding. They're still bleeding. They're still kind of walking a little funny. I mean, you've been in there for several hours. We don't know how long it's been, but they've been in stocks. This ain't the best condition to be in. I'm sure their pulse rate's still high from a mega earthquake. But they went and preached the gospel. I love these guys. I love reading the book of Acts. I love reading the Bible because I see these people, much like you, much like me, but I see them with the tenacity in their faith saying, you know what? No matter what comes against me, I got a mission, a mandate, and an assignment of God. I'm going to preach and tell the word of the Lord. I may be bleeding. I may not look, you know, too good right now. I may not smell the best, but I love Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to preach the gospel. That's what God's looking for today, true, transparent Christianity in America, to where we say, who cares about all the flash and the dash and the flamboyancy, all these different things that are out there that church on the digital screen makes you think it should be. Why don't we just find real people who love God? It's good preaching. Watch this. To all that were in the house. Why? And the verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and baptized he and his house straightway. So follow me with this. They get beat. They get thrown in the back of the jail. They get put in stocks. Earthquake takes place after several hours of being in there. We don't know how long, but several hours, I'm sure. Then all of a sudden, they're outside of the prison. This guy's getting saved. They're preaching the gospel. The whole house is getting saved. And now they're cleaning his back. I don't know if you're on the same page with me. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Now, mostly they think that what they did was they took them to the inner court of the prison where there was a fountain and probably washed their stripes right there. And while everybody's seeing this take place, the whole family gets baptized. What a night. This is incredible. This is the same day. This is the same, you know, the day was just before, and then nighttime comes, midnight, and then it's still morning hour, and they're preaching the gospel, and they're having a revival with the jailer. This is too much. This is awesome. This is awesome, man. This is God at work. And here they are, the same guy that beat them, you know, almost to death, beat them so bad. He's now getting out Band-Aids and washing their back. And does that hurt, Paul? You okay, brother? And Silas, how you doing, buddy? Wow. This is, woo. This is mind-blowing, isn't it? It's mind-boggling. It's just like, wow. But that's how fast God can turn it around. That's how fast God can give you favor with man and your enemies. He can turn it around. He can turn it around. No matter what we're going through, none of us in this room, those watching tonight, God can flip this thing on a dime. He can change this thing. Well, that's just a Bible story. No, that's just faith in motion right there. That's facts. And pressure was the detonator. It made it happen. All right? So check this out. They're washing their stripes. They're preaching the gospel. Okay? Verse 34. And when they had brought them unto his house, they brought him into his house. Let's just take an example for here. I mean, we love our sheriffs in this area, but could you imagine the sheriff or the head jailer just taking a bunch of prisoners to his house to eat? I believe they're Christians. I believe they love the Lord. I just don't see that tomorrow in the headlines in the newspaper, great earthquakes takes place and local sheriff takes prisoners to eat dinner. Think with me at what a great miracle this is and how God turned this around. Watch this. And he brought them into his house and he set meat before them. Picture this. I don't know if the guy was married, so I'm just going to use a little bit of Hollywood in this. But he's like, hey, honey, we got some visitors. This is after midnight. I'm sure she's pretty happy. Get your apron on, baby. Make some biscuits and some gravy. I don't know what they gave him. It could have been something very easy. But the point is, he came home. He's bringing prisoners. His whole house got saved. Could you imagine what they're thinking? Could you imagine in their mindset? And could you imagine what has taken place here with the love of God and how everything flipped? This person who was assigned, paid, and had a job to keep these men in pain and torture is now having them over, and they're all having a birthday party. It's a birthday party. Why? Because they all just got born again. Just one big party. They're all partying down. They got food. I mean, this is awesome, man. This is awesome. Okay? And so he had meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. So there was a party. They were rejoicing. They were giving these guys food. They were blessing them. They were saying, man, Paul, hey, brother Paul, brother Silas. And watch verse 35. And when it was day, I think I'd be wiped out by then. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeants, some translations say policemen, saying, let these men go. And the keeper of the prison told them, told the saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. Let me stop there for a second. So why the change of heart? The earthquake. The change of heart was most likely the earthquake. Because it wasn't something that was nominal or normal. It was a mega earthquake. What it was, we don't know. But a mega earthquake is, you know, pretty devastating. So whatever... on the Richter scale or whatever way they had abilities to register these things, it was enough to bring these guys into a position where we better do something. Of course, it could have been rumors as well as who Paul and Silas really were. So he says in verse 37, but Paul said unto them, watch Paul's wisdom. They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. Now he pulls it out. And have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Woo! Now, he said we don't have vengeance. Paul wasn't being vindictive. He knew where this thing was heading. He's like, why don't you boys come on in here? Now he starts to pull the card out. Another thing you need to understand about why didn't Paul pull the card out is because really there was no card to pull. Remember, they didn't walk around with driver's license. And any paperwork that would have been proof in Tarsus of who Paul was as a citizen would be put in a public record facility in a place. It would not be necessary in his hands. So again, it was a tricky situation, but Paul really wasted this time to bring this out. Now, watch this. This is not vindictive. Paul's not using this to harm these guys. Paul is using this for protection and preservation of the gospel. And I'll show it to you in a minute historically what happened. All right? So check this out. And we're coming to a close here. in a minute. And so he said, come on in, man. Why don't you come on here and get me? Now, you got to remember, the earthquake just took place where Paul and them were at. I don't know if I'd want to go back in there. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. Now, remember, they would have been in serious trouble because they weren't supposed to do that. No, the law said, the Roman law said, you could not beat anybody. You could not do anything like that unless they had a trial. They did not have a trial, so they broke law. So these guys were in serious trouble. Paul knew that, but Paul did not do anything against them. Watch verse 39. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. If you look at it historically and you go in a little further research, not just plain scripture right there, basically what Paul did was you publicly beat us and you publicly threw us into this jail. You will publicly take us out of this jail and you will publicly apologize that we have done no wrong. Because remember, this isn't done in a corner in some faraway prison. Usually these prisons, these things were on the open streets. They were on the main streets. They were where people, just like the old Western days where you saw the jail cells. It's pretty much the way it was in that hour. It wasn't far away like we have prisons today. You know, it takes you hours and hours to get to a prison. They were right there in front of the city. So they had to see the commotion and the Paul and Silas coming out as free people. Okay, do you see the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? God will do the same for you. So what the devil means for your harm, God makes for your good, and he makes for my good. But I'll explain to you another point in 1 second. In verse 40, it says, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. Remember her? They're still in revival over there. It's still in Philippi. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Again and again, you watch Paul and the team, Paul and the apostles, men of faith. They left on their own accord. They went through what they went through, but then they stood up and they left on the timing of the Lord. See, when God has a plan and assignment for you and a mission and a mandate, it doesn't end until God says it ends. He doesn't let you depart until you're done. And you're going to depart in victory. You're not going to depart with broken relationships and broken this and broken that. You depart with peace and you depart with victory. Now, what was really important about Paul having these guys come in there and get him out. Again, he wasn't vindictive because Paul could have just, he could have elevated this. He could have got a hold of the hires in that colony that represented the Roman government. He could have set these men on trial. Paul could have stayed there a little while and watched the trial go out. But what would have happened was the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ would have been damaged. Their names would have been damaged. So by Paul going and having them get them out of there, Paul helped preserve the church of Philippi for years to come. Later on, in the book of Philippians, you know, he talks about some of the persecution they went through. But most scholars believe because of this act of diplomacy, this act of righteousness, and this act of wisdom on the behalf of Paul and Silas, it actually preserved the Christians so that they could grow. Those two churches, remember, the church of Philippi was started with who? Lydia, and then this jailer. With this jailer and this family. Notice when people got saved, it wasn't just one or two. There was a whole house, their slaves, their workers, the servants, whatever, their family members, everybody got saved. So the church of Philippi was actually preserved by Paul taking the beating. You see, so many times we may have the legal right, we may have the God-given right to thrust out and thrash and get all mad in those different things and strike back. But sometimes God will be, listen, if you just take the punishment, if you just take the blows, it's going to work to your favor and it's going to work to my good and my kingdom will be blessed. And so we need to think about that in our daily lives today. We need to think about it with some issues we may have with folks or whatever. That look, just because you took the beating doesn't mean they won. You win when the Father says, well done, the good and faithful servant. And Paul had the bigger picture. That's what made him one of the greatest apostles. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And one day I'd just like to do an entire teaching on the Apostle Paul. It'll amaze you what kind of man God raised up from being such a sinner, such a Pharisee, such a killer of Christians and persecutor, to a great preserver of the Christian faith. And so with my ending comments, let's strive for that. Let's strive to be peacemakers, even when things don't go our way. Yes, we pray for God's will to be done, but we pray for the bigger picture. We pray that no matter what happens to us, he will get all the praise and the honor and the glory, and the Church of Jesus Christ will be preserved. Amen. Let me say this. Sometimes your best defense is to keep your mouth shut. I've told this before privately, and I think I've said it a couple times from this pulpit. I've had many, many times to really lay out a lot of people who have said some things to this ministry, who have said some things against me, who have done some things that you probably will never know as a pastor. I'll never let you know, and I'll never call their names out. Why? Because the Lord told me, don't strike back. You let me deal with it. And if I let God deal with it, guess what? The victory is going to be ours, and we'll have the favor. Father, thank you so much. I know it's precept, it's teaching. I know it comes out and it almost seems easy. But Father, it's not easy because we're people of emotions. And Lord God, we do have feelings. But I know it's easy in the realm of faith when we turn it all over to you that you'll take care of it. Help us all to walk in that and have the shield of faith in our life. Father, that we can quench the fiery darts of our enemies, because many times all he wants us to do is bite and strike back to get us out in the open so that he can cause more damage. Help us to walk like Paul did, because I know he walked like Jesus did, and I know he walked under the authority, the power, and the appointment of the Holy Spirit. We love you. We know you're developing us. We know you're raising us up to be great warriors for the last days. Help us to do it, Father, even when we don't see it in us. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love you. See you Sunday morning. Appreciate you. Love you.